Thank you once again for coming back tonight. Listen, you know, sometimes in services, you know, there are things that you're supposed to do, like this morning. We had something to do. And then other times there are things that you know you just simply need to say. You know, Jesus told Brother Hagin in 1987 in a vision, he said, among many things, it's recorded in a book called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. And one of the things he told him, he said, you know, every time the saints come together, I have a purpose for every service. And if you'll take time to seek me and to identify the purpose and then flow with it, you'll have the best results. You know, in those days in the charismatic circles, we, you know, tended to try to put everything into one service, the healing, victory, deliverance, praise and worship, running, you know, all everything in one. And so he said, you know, let's target the purpose. So tonight, to be honest with you, I just have some things I need to say to you. And, you know, as the deliverer, I don't always have complete understanding of why I'm saying the things that I'm saying. But God would have knowledge of who is going to be here. And, of course, what needs to be heard. And then the application, and I'd like to say this to you, what will be most important tonight is probably not what I am saying, but what the Holy Spirit says to you about what I'm saying in the days and the weeks and perhaps the months ahead. Okay? So everybody following me? Praise God. I'll be respectful of your time, but I do want to share some things with you tonight by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until it reaches full strength at noonday. Our path or our life as a believer is described in the Scripture as one that moves from faith to faith, Romans 1:17. From strength to strength, Psalm 84 and verse 7, it says from strength to strength. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18 says that we go from glory to glory. So once again, our path is one that grows brighter and brighter. Even when we lay down this physical body and we pass through the door of physiological death, our path still grows brighter and brighter. We're still moving from faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. Amen? So along this path, we understand that our lives are comprised of a series of seasons. Just as there are natural seasons in this world in which we live, winter, spring, summer, fall, each season, of course, has its designated purpose and intention. And once that purpose and intention is fulfilled or consummated, then that season transitions to the next one. You know, our lives are like that. Our lives are comprised of a series of seasons which ultimately culminate to our destiny and our end. And I always tell people it's very important to discern the seasons of your life, to be prayerful and to be attentive and to identify God's purposes and plans in each season and to embrace them and to cooperate with them so that His plan and purpose can be accomplished within that season, and then we're able to successfully transition to the next one. Amen? Now, not only are there seasons of our personal lives, but the same principles hold true with the corporate and collective body of Christ, and specifically also the local church. There are seasons in the local church, you know. And so, thinking about that, most often in our personal seasons, and you'll see it quite often in the seasons of churches, you'll see that season contain, among many things, you'll see challenges, you'll see changes, you'll see transitions, you'll see redirection, reorganization, and then things will settle out or plateau, if you will, or level out for a while. And then it is most often when things have seemed to level out and plateau that you stand poised for what we would call a change of seasons, another step forward on this path that is growing brighter and brighter from faith to faith, glory to glory, strength to strength. And that can also apply to us personally. And it just seems to me, and of course I said to you, this will apply to anyone that is in this room tonight because you're here, obviously, your heart drew you here. So I want to speak to you not only corporately, but also personally and individually. It seems to me that we're standing both personally and corporately on the threshold of a change of seasons. And of course, that can be very much a blessing. Amen. Thinking about that change of seasons, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. One translation says, everything has its appointed hour. And quite naturally, moving in harmony with God's appointed times and seasons is very crucial in fulfilling His plans and purposes. Can you say amen? So turn to your neighbor, say, we're on the threshold of a change of seasons. Woo! Glory to God. Now I'll give you a little something to get happy about. Pastor Sarah was out at I believe Brother Copeland's conference in January, the minister's conference. And, you know, Brother Jerry Savelle was there. And you may have heard this, but I'll just repeat it. You know, you don't take everything that comes down the pike from someone just because they said the Lord said. But if someone does have a proven ministry and they've been faithful in that ministry, he's got a track record of 40 years and still going strong. He said the Lord told him some things about the year 2017 and a season which would be initiated in this time. And the word of the Lord came to him saying 2017 would be a year or initiate a season in which the faithful shall flourish. The faithful shall flourish. Well, you know, that just kind of bore witness with my spirit. So I like to investigate. So I just kind of did a little study on the word flourish. And the word flourish by definition means to grow well. To grow well. To thrive. To prosper. To enlarge. To expand. Listen. To increase. And to enter a period of highest productivity, excellence, and influence. Somebody say, I'll take that. You ought to take it for your family, for your business, for yourself, for your ministry, for your church. In which the faithful, now what does faithful mean? Well, faithful means to be conscientious. It means to be diligent. It means to be devoted to God and to His ways, to be consistent with truth, and to be full of faith. God said, all right now, we're entering a new season, and the faithful, those who will be conscientious, disciplined, diligent, devoted to God and to His ways, consistent with truth and full of faith, you're going to what? You're going to flourish. Grow well, thrive, prosper, enlarge, increase, expand, enter a period of highest, what did I say? Highest productivity. Somebody's listening. Highest productivity, excellence, and influence. Whoa, say it again. I'll take that. Amen. Now listen, we understand with every divine intention, there must always be a human response, as we say, that there are two cooperating forces. There's the Godward and the manward, the human and the divine, that must work together in bringing God's divine intentions into fruition. So thinking about this today and just meditating before I came and feeling very convinced that the Lord is saying that we're standing on the threshold of a time of great blessing as the body of Christ personally and corporately, and that He would have us flourish, that, you know, we want to cooperate with Him personally and corporately. So I want to give you what I call three keys of faith that you can implement in the coming days, weeks, and months, and year in cooperating with God in bringing His divine intention into fruition, all right? These were actually, you know, when you preach for 30 years, they, you know, you're going to repeat, you're going to have certain things that you've maybe ministered in years gone by. But the Lord gave me these years ago, and I've held on to them personally and implemented them, and I felt led to share them with you tonight. Is that okay? So, everybody say, let's flourish. Let's thrive. Let's enter a period of highest productivity, excellence, and influence. Now, the first principle I want you to see is over in is in the Gospel of John. John chapter 2. And like I said, you're here by divine appointment tonight, so I hope you'll listen well and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, because this is what I was encouraged to share with you. John chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 1. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour's not yet come." His mother said unto the servant, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And you'll remember the story. There were 6 water pots of stone there. And he told the servants, "Listen, I want you to take these 6 water pots. I want you to fill them with water. And then I want you to draw out and take to the governor the feast." So they were obedient. They took the water pots. They filled them with water. They drew out. They took to the governor the feast. And you'll remember he said most people, serve the best wine first and reserve that which is not the best for the last. He said, "But you've kept the best for the last." Amen. The point I want you to see this evening in cooperating with God in this next season of your life personally and corporately is in verse 5. Whatever He says to you, do it. Now listen, even if it defies conventional wisdom or logic or your own personal preference. Whatever He says to you, you must do it. Even if it defies conventional wisdom or logic or your own personal preference. Because we all have preferences of things that we want to do, we don't want to do. But whatever He says to us, we must be willing to follow that direction. Are you listening? Now, you know, sometimes when God is attempting to launch us out into another facet or phase of His plan or His purpose, because those steps seem somewhat uncertain from a natural perspective, we can tend to hesitate to take those steps. Sometimes those steps, as we said, are contrary to our personal preferences, or they take us outside of our comfort zone. How many of you know we can all get comfortable in a certain place in life, a certain flow in life, a certain station in life, and we don't want to move, we don't want to change, we don't want to divert? But I always tell people it's very important to maintain an openness to God. All along your journey, you must maintain an openness to God, because God may push you outside your self-imposed parameters. He knows what He can do through us, for us, on our behalf, when sometimes we don't even believe that we could do it ourselves. Are you listening? So we want to maintain an openness all along our journey. Be willing to change. Change is a part of the process. Change is a part of the journey. And all along our journey, season to season, there will always be changes, right? So we want to stay open. You know, I'm just reminded of a natural story. I had a neighbor. His name was Roy. Roy was a master mechanic with Ford Motor Company, and had a wonderful salary, you know, and had a nice home on the golf course and a beautiful family, and was enjoying where he was and what he was doing. And we were neighbors, and I might tell you the story of how that occurred, but we were sitting on the back patio, you know, and as we did regularly, and we'd drink a cup of coffee and just talk and fellowship. He was a parishioner. I was an associate pastor at Rhema, and we'd just talk and fellowship. And he said, you know, Marty, he said, it's the strangest thing. He said, you know, sometimes I feel or sense that I should start my own business. See, when I say whatever he says to you, most often, as we said to you this morning in introducing that CD series, Two Things You Should Know About the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Spirit is not necessarily a sentence as much as it is a sense. So when we say whatever he says, it could be the authoritative voice of the Spirit, or it could be your heart prompting you. Over and over, periodically, it comes up to your mind, out of your spirit. Well, that's your heart speaking, inspired by the Holy Ghost. You need to listen to it. So he said, but you know, I don't want to have my own business. I don't want the headache of, you know, payroll and employees. I like going to work, working the job, coming home, getting the paycheck, and leaving it all there. I said, well, Roy, you know, if your heart is prompting you and the Holy Spirit is leading you, then obviously He has your blessing in mind and the blessing of others. Well, you know, as we said, sometimes God will push you outside the parameters of your self-perceptions because we don't believe we can do certain things or we're not comfortable doing them, and yet God knows by His grace and ability we can do it. So as time progressed, you know, they had some changes in the workplace. New sales manager, new employees, and man, things got a little different and uncomfortable in the workplace. And so, man, you know, God can prod you when necessary. And so, man, all of a sudden he finds himself not really wanting to go into work. Not a very nice environment. And so he just quit out of exasperation. And he went over and leased a facility that had the capacity to expand, but he began with one stall and you know, started his own business as a mechanic working on the automobiles. Well, friends, in the process of time, he went to two stalls, then three, then four, then five, hiring multiple mechanics, then six, then seven, then eight, then nine, then ten. They maxed out the facility. Then he went from there across town and bought another one with another 10 stalls. Glory to God. And several years later, he's gone from $85,000 to several million. And I'm talking about what the business is bringing in, but his salary was a blessing. Amen? Well, so God had His blessing in mind. The point is, once again, you know, sometimes we want all of our ducks in a row before we're willing to take action. But see, in the life of faith, you're not always going to have that luxury. It seemed absolutely illogical to take water pots and fill them with water when the need was wine. But I want you to listen to me, and you write this down because God will bring it to your remembrance. Our obedience to God's divine command or leading will always bring into manifestation the unlimited possibilities and provisions of God. Our obedience to God's divine command or leading will always bring into manifestation the unlimited possibilities and provisions of God. Faith demands obedience, even when the results seem uncertain from a natural perspective. Are you following me? Faith demands obedience even when the results seem uncertain from a natural perspective. And so once again, I said to you, you know, as you're following the leading of the Spirit in this season in which we're entering, that we have to be careful for what I call preconceived ideas and mental parameters. Well, this is the way it's going to be. It's got to be this way or no way. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Or we have preconceived ideas about the way God is going to do something. And how many of you know, our preconceived ideas are not always inspired. So once again, we want to stay open to the Holy Ghost. So I had a pastor friend, you know, who was in Texas, and he had started a church there, and, you know, in the process of time, they outgrew the facility. And so he said, "Marty, I went around town looking for a place to go because we needed another place to meet." And he said, "You know, I made my way down to the historical district of this particular city," and he said, "it was in ruins. It was dilapidated. It was horrible." He said, "There was an old grocery store there with a sign for lease." He said, "I tried the door and I went in because it was open." He said, "So I was just looking around." And he said, "In the natural, it was terrible. It was in such bad repair." He said, "The area was bad. And, you know, in the natural, it looked ridiculous." He said, "But as I walked throughout that building, something on the inside of me," now who is that? The Holy Ghost, "was saying, lease this building, lease this building." Had a witness of the Spirit. He said, "Now, Lord, nobody's going to come down here. This is crazy." So he called his board and he said, "I need y'all to come down and look at this grocery store." So they came down and they walked in and they said, "Pastor, this is terrible. No one is going to come down here in this area of town and look at this place. It is in ruins." He said, "Gentlemen, I know it seems illogical, but I have a witness of the Spirit that I should sign the lease on this building." They said, "Well, Pastor, if you feel like that's what we should do, then we'll do it." Always be a part of the We Can Club, right? If you're in a local church, man, there's the We Can't and the We Cans. Be a part of the We Can, because you know miracles come in cans, right? So they said, "If the Lord said to do it, we'll do it." So, man, he went down, met with a city council representative, signed the lease on that old grocery store. Well, several weeks later, before they'd ever begun any renovations at all, he got a call from another member of the city council. And they said, "Pastor so-and-so," and I'll just reserve his name for privacy purposes. He said, "We understand that you have leased the old grocery store in the historical district." He said, "That's right." He said, "Sir, we apologize to you. We don't know how in the world that even happened. It shouldn't have been, ready for lease or available for lease. We're going to completely renovate the historical district of the city, and we need all the buildings empty." And he said, "So I understand you've leased it for a 2 or 3 year period." And he said, "Would you consider allowing us to purchase that lease from you for, say, $150,000? And he said, "Well, let me pray about it." Yes. Now, you know, in certain parts of the country, $150,000 doesn't go very far. But in that part of the country, it goes a long way. And so just because he did what seemed completely illogical and followed the leading of the Spirit and signed his name on a lease, he came out a couple of weeks later with $150,000. And guess what they did? There was another church for sale in the city. They went down, put $100,000 on that building. Are you listening? And then took $50,000 to put the chairs and the sound and all. And man, they had their own building. Isn't God good? How many of you know he knows how to get to us what we need when we need it? He knows the seasons that we're navigating. He knows where he wants us to end up and how to get us there if we'll stay open. Whatever he says to us, that's what we do, even if it defies conventional wisdom or logic or our own personal preference. Now, there's another wonderful story over in 2 Kings. I want you to look there. You know this story. I'm sure you've heard it. But 2 Kings chapter 3, I'll tell you the story and then we'll look at a couple of specific verses. You'll remember that the Moabites came out in battle against King Jehoram of Israel, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, and the king of Edom because of an insurrection. So they have a seven-day journey, and I'll just tell you, and then we'll look at some scriptures. They have a seven-day journey across the desert to engage in this battle. And when they get out there, they realize they're outnumbered numerically, they're outmaneuvered militarily, and they are on the verge of death due to dehydration. They've underestimated their need for water and supplies, and they're on the verge of death and their cattle and their livestock. So they're in a pickle, man. Have you ever been there in a pickle? They said, so hey, we better go get a word from God. So they go over to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha said, Jehoram, I wouldn't give you the time of day, because you're an idolater, if it were not for Jehoshaphat. But because of Jehoshaphat and your company, I'll give you an audience. So he said, now bring me a minstrel. And the minstrel began to play. And the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he began to prophesy. And in 2 Kings chapter 3, I want you to notice what the word of the Lord said. Verse 16. And also we'll read 16 and 17 and 18. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For, thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, you will not see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. And he will deliver the Moabites into your hands. Now we're talking about point one in cooperating with God in this season, whatever he says to us do. Now listen, it seems completely illogical for these gentlemen out in the middle of the desert, dying of dehydration. They come back with the word of the Lord. Hey guys, yes, yes, yes. Start digging ditches, dig some trenches. They don't have shovels. I imagine they had to use swords. And man, they're digging these trenches or whatever they had. Can you imagine how ludicrous that appeared? You want us to dig ditches out here in the middle of the sand. That's right. Dig ditches. And he said, now listen to me. God said, you're not going to see wind or not, and you're not going to see rain. Sometimes, once again, we think we've got this thing planned out exactly how God needs to do it or how he should do it, and he's got something completely different in mind, right? So he said, I want you to make this valley full of ditches. Dig your ditches. You will not see wind. You will not see rain, right? But this whole valley shall be filled with water. And notice what he said, this is but a light thing. Sometimes, man, we think the mountain is so huge. It's so impossible, so impassable, so indestructible. And God said, hey, it's a light thing. This is a light snack. You just got to get in sync with me and follow my instructions and you know, get in my presence a little bit and let me give you some cues, right? So they started digging ditches out in the middle of the desert. And the Bible says, if you were to read the story, and you can read it later, in the morning at the time of the meat offering, they're standing in front of empty ditches praising God. Praising God. Now, you know, sometimes we want to say, Lord, where's the water? Where's the provision? Where's the supply? Then I'll dig the ditch. He said, no, you got to dig the ditch first. Then the water will flow. Are you listening? So they're standing there praising God, and that water began to flow by way of Edom and filled all those ditches. Now, what they did not know, see, is that, and if you study historically and theology, you can see that several days earlier, God had already brought rain up in the mountains, and it was on its way down. See, he goes before us. He's got the plan. He knows what we need to do. He just needs us to dig our ditches, follow his instructions. Now, That water's on its way down. If they had not been obedient to dig those ditches when he said dig ditches, when that water came, it would have been dissipated and they would not have been able to utilize it. Are you listening? So it's like that quarterback. You know, when the quarterback throws the pass to the receiver, you know, he does not throw that pass to where the receiver is. He throws that pass in anticipation of where the receiver's going to be. So it is the receiver's obedience to run the play as designated that puts him in position to receive the pass when it's thrown. And that's what we want to be in this season now. I'm expecting God to do some supernatural things for some people in this room, and personally and corporately. But what are we going to do? We're going to run the pass. We're going to be in position so that when that pass is thrown, we're going to run the play and we're going to be in position. And when that pass is thrown, we're going to receive it. We're going to dig our ditches, right? So once again, you know, sometimes we say, well, you know, you send the water, then we'll dig the ditch. He said, no. Now you dig the ditch, I'll send the water. All right. Does that make sense? So, you know, the thought is move in the direction that God is leading, and then the blessing and the provision and the plan will follow and unfold. Okay? Now, the second thing I want to share with you, very simple in nature, is in 2 Kings chapter 4, right next door. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now, this is the story of a woman who found herself on the threshold of one of the greatest provisional miracles of her life in what appeared to be her time of greatest need. Now, let's look at this together. 2 Kings chapter 4, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. And when you come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, she poured out." And you remember the story. "It came to pass, as the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said, There's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Verse 7, she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Man, once again, we're talking about a woman who was standing, as we said, on the threshold of one of the greatest provisional miracles of her life in what appeared to be her time of greatest need. And this is the second principle I want you to remember and implement in the coming season, in the weeks and months and days and year. And that is, number two, you must believe that God can take what you have and bless it. You must believe that God can take what you have and bless it. Never devalue what you have. Never look with envy to any other person or ministry or business or family and say, man, if I only had what they had, if we only had their abilities, their grace, their gifts, their resources, whoa, what we could do. No, listen. God can take what you have. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 people with it, he can certainly take what we have if we will offer it and set it in motion. He can bless it and make it more than enough. Look in John chapter 5, or John chapter 6. What a great illustration. Never devalue what you have, personally or corporately. All creation is endowed by its creator with something in the house. Are you listening? John chapter 6, verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now notice, he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Friends, God always has the plan. Don't worry about the plan. He's got the plan. He simply wants our faith and our obedience at times to serve as the catalyst that unlocks that plan. Are you listening? He already knew what he was going to do. This he said to prove him. He wanted their faith to serve as the catalyst that unlocked that plan. So in verse 7, Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them should take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There's a lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are these, or they, among so many?" And you know the rest of the story. Jesus said, "Boys, sit down. Let me show you a very valuable principle. God will honor faith that says, 'Lord, take what I have. I'm going to set it in motion and bless it.' And he'll make it more than enough to accomplish his plan, his purpose, and what he has for each of us." Are you listening? Take what I have and bless it. As we said, never say to God, "Well, it's just a little meal in my hand, a little oil in the cruse." Or as, you know, Moses said when he was standing there at the Red Sea and he's talking to God, "Hey, the water's in front of us, the Pharaoh's behind us, what do you want me to do?" God said, "What is that in your hand?" Right? He said, "It's just a rod." But I want to tell you, if you and I will believe God, he can take what appears to be an ordinary rod and he can part a Red Sea. I'm expecting some miracles. God is still in the supernatural business. Now in this season, whatever he says to you, you have to do it, even if it defies conventional wisdom or logic or your own personal preference. Number 2, I want you to believe that God can take what you have and bless it, great or small. When God adds his grace and his blessing to anything, it multiplies. You know, God can defy all the odds. Did you know that? He can take each of us beyond our natural confinement, our natural resources, our environments, our abilities. He can defy all the odds. I always tell people, never assume for a moment that our present state or condition, whatever it may be, that our present state or condition has any bearing on our future potential or fulfillment. Because God can change things in a moment of time. Can I repeat that? Never assume for a moment that your present state or circumstance has any bearing on your future potential or fulfillment, because God can change things in a moment of time. I've experienced these things. They're not just principles, they're realities. You know, when my wife and I got married, we were working for a particular ministry, and both of us were working full-time, 40 hours a week, plus extra. And our combined salary, not just one of us, our combined salary, both of us working full-time, was $24,000 a year. I'm talking about both of us, full-time, $24,000 a year, 40 hours, sometimes 50, 60 a week. So, you know, but hey, we knew we were planted where we belonged. We knew we were serving where God had put us. And we understand that there are certain salaries that go with certain jobs. We know that. And that's just a natural thing. But guess what? I didn't have to be confined to that parameter, right? So I said, "Now, Lord, I was not, you know, that young when I was making. I'd taken a pay cut from a previous job in ministry that I was in ministry before I'd come to that particular ministry. And, you know, so we were doing what we were supposed to do, making what we were making. But I said, Lord, we'd like to have a house. You know, wealth and riches shall be in the house of the righteous. Well, we didn't have a house to have wealth and riches in. Now, you know, we were living in a nice apartment and we were happy with that. And you know, to each his own. But we wanted a house, you know. So we went to the Lord. I'm talking about things can change in a moment of time. Never assume your present state or circumstances has any bearing on your future potential. So we went to the Word. Well, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask that your joy may be full. Right? And we got some other scriptures. If two of you agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. So we gathered some scriptures. We went before God as our spiritual father taught us in Mark 11, 23 and 24 says, and we made our petition known, Lord, we'd like to have a house. And so my wife had some particular things that she wanted, you know, in the home. So we made our petition. We wrote it down. See, friends, listen, sometimes people are too casual with their faith. You need to do things on purpose. Faith is the currency of heaven. It is the means by which divine transactions occur between God and man, heaven and earth. When you go to the store and you buy a loaf of bread, you give them the money, they give you the bread. You know the moment that that transaction occurred. When you make divine transactions and you're putting your faith on a certain petition, you need to write it down, put the scriptures on it, and know the day, the moment, the hour that you made that transaction. And then from that moment forward, thank God. So we made our transaction. We set down our petition. We made our divine transaction. Thank you, Lord. We believe, we receive. It is mine now. We just made a transaction with heaven. Through what? The currency of faith. Does that make sense? Now, is that all I do? No. Why? Well, because I have a helper. His name's the Holy Spirit. And it is His ministry and delight to lead us into the provisions of the covenant. So we had prayed. We believe we receive a house. Thank you, Lord. Now we don't have money for a house. Don't even have money for a down payment. But does that limit the ability of God? No. So, because, you know, faith can bring a house when you don't have any money for it. So anyway, and I know it's not all about money and houses. I'm just giving you this as an example because it was something we experienced in life. So anyway, so now I'm listening for the leading, see, for whatever He may tell me or speak to me. So we're laying in bed one night. This is in December's when we asked for the home. We're laying in bed one night, holding hands, praying in other tongues. So you have to live a life of the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, fellowshipping with God. All of a sudden began to speak in diverse kinds of tongues. And then I interpreted it. And the Lord said, there's coming an opportunity for your financial increase. Be watching. Well, man, I kind of got excited, you know. So, that's in January. Well, in March, a friend of mine came and said, Brother Marty, I've come across an opportunity in a business situation. And he said, I thought you might be interested and felt led to share it with you. Well, I said, well, let me look at it. Now, I'd never done any kind of business and haven't since. I've been in ministry all my life, but this would not, you know, influence people and so forth. So I said, in my position at that time, so I said, well, let me look at it. So I did. And man, when I looked at it, I had the witness of the Spirit. I should do this. Now, it took $100 to get into that business. And I'm going to tell you, that was a lot of money for us. But we came up with it. And we put that $100 and we set it in motion. Now, I'll just tell you along the way. So we'd been faithful, taking what we have, setting it in motion, you know, giving our offerings and so forth out of love for the kingdom. And one morning I was, before this thing was set in motion, I was putting a couple of dollars, I think, or five into the offering plate, and I had a mini vision. And I saw myself put $1,000. Well, I'd never put $1,000 in the offering at that time in my whole life. And so I started laughing in the Spirit. And my wife said, what, did you see something? She said, I said, yes, I did. I saw us putting $1,000 in the offering. She said, so did I. So, you know, man, it was like, well, praise God, you know. We don't have any money at that point. So here's the story. Now, in the midst of all of this, that boy, that gentleman Roy I told you about, who was my neighbor, he wasn't my neighbor at this time. He invited us out to dinner, had a beautiful home on a golf course. We're sitting on the back porch, you know, drinking coffee. I look over. Now, we've already made the petition for the house, but nothing's really started to happen yet. So I see this for sale sign on the house next door, 3,700 square feet, beautiful patio, sitting there on the golf course. I said, hey, Roy, you think they'd let us come look at this house? He said, well, I don't know. I said, call them and ask them. So he called them. They said, well, sure, you can come look at it. So we went over, and I'm going to tell you something. I walked through that house. Every room I walked in, my spirit is jumping on the inside. I walked out. I mean, it was beautiful. We walked out on the front sidewalk. I said, honey. She said, what? I said, that's our house. She said, I know it. And we don't have any money. What? Whoa. So let me tell you what happened now. Well, in a couple of weeks or so, a little money started coming in from this business. I was very diligent, and the money started rolling in, you know, coming in some, but not enough for down payment. This man got our number from Roy and called us. Said, Mr. Blackwelder. I said, yes. He said, you remember? I said, of course. He said, I know you're going to think, and I hope it doesn't appear that this is the craziest thing you've ever heard. He said, but sir, when you and your wife came in our home and you left, it just something said to us that this house should be yours. He said, do you like it? I said, oh, yes. Yeah. He said, would you like to buy it? I said, oh, yes. I said, but I'm not in a position to do so. And I was just very frank. But see, the Lord was already dealing with him. So I just took advantage of that. I said, but now here's what we can do. Because see, a little money started coming in. I said, now you take it off the market. You move out. We'll move in. That's what I told him. You move out, we'll move in. I'll lease it from you with the option to buy, and a portion of our lease payment, we'll just put that aside as a down payment. How's that sound? He kind of took him back a little bit. He said, well, I don't know. Let me talk to my wife, because they were ready to go. And so he came back. He said, you know what? We'll do that. We'll do that. So they took it off the market. They moved out. We moved in. We leased it for a very short season. And what am I telling you? I said, never assume for a moment that our present state or circumstance has any bearing on our future potential or fulfillment, because God can change things in a moment of time. In 12 months, we made $450,000. We went from $24,000 to $450,000. Of course, the government took 51% of it. But hey, paid off my Camry, glory to God, paid off her debts, put a hefty down payment, moved in, furnished it, lived there 7 years, and had $100,000 equity when we left to go to Atlanta. Praise God. Now, why did I tell you that? Because I want you to see God's not confined by our parameters, our environment, our resources, our abilities. He wants us to believe him for some things in this season, and let's do it. Let's make some divine exchanges. Are you ready? Look in Isaiah 41, 19 through 20, just as an example that God can defy all the odds. Isaiah 41, oh, hallelujah. Notice what he said in verse 19. He said, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah, the myrtle, and the oil tree, and I'll set in the desert the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Amen? So God said, hey, look, I'm going to plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah, the myrtle, and the oil, and in the desert, the fir, the pine, and the box tree. These are environments in which these trees cannot flourish in the natural. There's no way for them to prosper or flourish. He said, but I'm going to bless those trees.
and they're going to be fruitful, and they're going to produce, and everybody is going to stand back and say, good gracious, there's no way in the world that could have happened except by the hand of God. Amen? So, in this season that we want to flourish with God, as His church, as His people, corporately, personally, whatever He says to us, we're going to do it. We have to. Even if it defies conventional wisdom or logic or our own personal preference. Number two, we're going to believe that God can take what we have, great or small, and as we set it in motion and are faithful with it, He will bless it and make it more than enough, not only to be blessed and to accomplish His plans and purposes, but also to be a blessing. And then the third and final principle that I want you to remember in this season is found in 1 Kings chapter 18. And once again, I know what I'm saying tonight is simple, but it's not what I am saying. It's what God says to you about what I am saying and will say to you in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Are you listening? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So, there's been a drought now for 3.5 years. You know, kind of the season has been somewhat unchanging. Just, you know, in that particular situation, dry and the climate hasn't changed. And sometimes we have a season where things have somewhat leveled out and plateaued, and there's not really been much, you know, change, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes, right? Just like it's coming tonight. I want to bless you indeed, right? I want to cause you to flourish, to grow well, personally, corporately, expand, thrive, prosper, enter a period of highest productivity, excellence, and influence. Sometimes people have a tendency to think their best days are behind them. That should never be true. Your best days are ahead of you, always. Woo! Because you got glory after this. You got heaven after this, so your best days are always ahead of you. Hallelujah. So the third thing I want you to remember this evening, as we believe and embrace this word of God for this season, I want you to maintain your expectation. Maintain your expectation. Be determined. Be steadfast. Be confident that whatever God places in your heart to do, personally or corporately, He is well able to bring it into fruition. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He not said it, and shall He not make it good? Are you listening? Maintain your expectation, because, friends, that's not just a cliche. As we say, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles, and not just, you know, healing and things like that, but all kinds of miracles. When you have an expectation of something, you get up in the morning listening. Hey, Father, I'm open. I'm listening. Lead me. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Put me in the right place at the right time with the right people, with the right doors, with the right opportunities. Right? I have an expectation. I get up every day with an expectation. And I got to tell you, we've had some significant things occur for us in the first quarter of this year that we were standing and believing for and thanking God for and had an expectation of. Right? So in 1 Kings 18, 41 through 43, notice, Elijah, in expectation of what God had promised, he sends his servant out over the sea. Verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, "Get up, eat and drink. There's the sound of the abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went on top of the Mount Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth. He put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." And he went up, and he looked, and he said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." So, you know, six times in expectation. And I want you to get an expectation. Please don't go out tonight and say, "Well, that was a nice sermon." Listen to the word of the Lord. Believe that God wants us to flourish as the body of Christ, personally, corporately, ministerially. He wants us to what? To thrive, man, in these last days, to make an impact. Right? Personally and corporately. And so we want to go out with an expectation. So he sent his servant out six times. And he came back and six times he said nothing. "I don't see anything. This isn't working. I don't see any change. I don't see any open doors. I don't see any way it can happen." But faith says, and expectation says, "Perhaps I don't see it at the moment. But I know it is on the way. And what I am expecting, I am working toward, and I am making preparation for." What I am expecting, I am working toward, and I am making preparation for. Noah built an ark on dry ground when there was no water. No natural evidence of what God had spoken. But he had an expectation. And that expectation motivated him in his action and in his preparation. I said that expectation motivated him in his action and in his preparation. He built an ark. He loaded the animals. He climbed in. He shut the door. All while the sun was still shining. Now that is expectation. In the same way, Elijah sent his servant, as we said, to look out over the sea. And he would not take no for an answer. May I challenge you in this season, don't take no for an answer. For some things that you're believing God for, I mean, hold on to it. Amen? Don't take no for an answer. Smith Wigglesworth said, every Christian ought to have on the inside of them an inward amen. An amen that says, God has said it, it cannot be otherwise. Woo! Glory to God. So, finally, we see in 1 Kings 18 here, verses 44 through 45, it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And of course, you know, Elijah girded up his loins or his girdle and ran back to Jezreel and outran the chariots, right? But you know, here's the interesting thing, and you've heard it said, but we might as well repeat it. Six times. Nothing, 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 nothing. But then, suddenly, everything changed. Faith is always working. If you don't let go, it's working. You might not see it. You might not feel it. And you might look and look and look, and you're standing and you're believing and you're holding fast, and it looks like nothing, 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 nothing. But then suddenly, everything can change in a moment of time. I've seen it. I've experienced it. It looked like it wasn't working. You haven't heard me. But faith is working. Even when you can't see it. And suddenly everything can change in a moment of time. Think about Joseph, man. He's in prison 2.5 years. Same thing every day. And it looks like it's never going to change. And then one morning he woke up and suddenly everything was different.
They came, got him up, gave him a shave, put a robe on him, gave him a ring, and took him up beside Pharaoh, and he becomes second in the land. What? Over all the land of Egypt. Whew. Praise God. What's the Holy Ghost saying to us tonight? I hope you'll receive it. We're entering a new season. I believe that. God wants to bless us as a people, as a church. And if your ministry is represented, this goes for you. He wants us, according to the word of the Lord, to what? To thrive, to flourish, to prosper, to enlarge, to expand, to enter a period of highest productivity, excellence, and influence. Personally, in your business, in your ministry, as a church, whatever it applies to, what am I going to do, Lord? Well, whatever you tell me to do, that is what I'm going to do. Even if it defies conventional wisdom or logic or my own personal preference, I'm going to stay open, willing to change. Well, I can't, you know, I feel like I should put this application, but I'm not qualified. Well, if you sense that you should put it in, put it in. Right? The Holy Ghost can grace you, help you. Well, I need to do this or that. Well, do it. If it keeps coming up in your spirit, follow those inclinations, right? Second, we're going to believe that God can take what we have, personally, corporately, great or small, and what? Bless it. Bless it. If we will just set it in motion. And then third, we are going to maintain our expectation. And I believe that if we will, that just as it did for Elijah and Noah, the day will come, the water will flow, the rain will come, and that which we have what? Had an expectation of, worked toward, made preparation for, will come into fruition. So, you know, action, most often action is always required. Notice, pots had to be gathered. Bring me vessels, not a few. A little boy's lunch had to be surrendered, right? But then once we've done our part, right, then heaven says, now stand back and watch me work. Shoo. I believe your best days are ahead of you. If you're in this room tonight, I want you to get your faith up. I want you to begin to expect some supernatural things to occur in your life, your family, your business, your job, your ministries. Let's expect to what? Let's expect to flourish. Everybody say, I'm ready to flourish. Whatever he says to me, I'm going to do it. I know he can take what I have and bless it. And I've got an expectation. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Let's just bless him for a moment. Oh, rosicarere di barangeli valodo bopa prekidara di malusuta rikite. E carige di boro da balambara di bassaterere di bara di boro la manangeli detiche. Yeji kisiki talaci. Ashta pokoro da mossondara di bacciara di bassateli eke. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Plans and purposes and designated paths, things designed, arranged, orchestrated by my spirit, things that I desire and have prepared for you to receive in this season and want to get to you. But you have to cooperate with me, saith the Lord, and do not fear it. That which you've longed for and set your faith upon and had vision of shall not only come into view, but it will come into fruition. But there are steps that must be taken. There are pieces of the puzzle that must be properly placed. And when this has been accomplished, then you'll move forward quickly, and that which is hindered will be erased. So listen carefully to my spirit in the days ahead.
and I'll speak to your heart. And I'll give you direction and wisdom, and you will be successfully led. In apprehending the fullness of this season and all that it holds. And so when I give you direction and when wisdom comes, you must then step out in faith and be bold. And the vision will come into fruition. And those dreams and desires, not only of your heart, but that which I've placed within you, will be fulfilled. And your heart will be glad. And people will be blessed. And I will be glorified in their fulfillment, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, be it unto us according to your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think there's some folks in here, you've been waiting on some things for a long time. Say, this is my season. Woo, I believe it. I believe it. Listen, I told you sometimes, you know, there are things to be done. Other times there's just things to be said, and I feel like I've said what I should say. Amen. Let's stand up tonight and let's sing this song together and kind of make it our confession of faith. Are you ready? They're going to put some words up here. Brother Josh, crank her up. Give me some reverb. It covers the multitude of sin. Woo! Somebody say it's coming to pass.